Today's shiur is Masechta Bavakama Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the Gemara. Yesterday, the Mishnah quoted a machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda how an animal becomes a muad. Rabbi Yehuda said that it had to have done an act of damage shlosh yamim, 3 days, whereas Rameh's opinion was 3 times, even 1 day. Asked the Gemara, my Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that says you need 3 days? Amar Abaya, the Pasuk says, Tmol refers to Chad, 1 day. Then the Pasuk adds the word, the letter Mem, to Mitmol is Trey. Shilsham is Tulsa. Veloyishmerenu Balav, Oslan Gicha Revius. It comes to teach us that after 3 days, doing damage on 3 days, on the 4th day, it will be chayiv for being a muad after 3 days of doing damage. Rav Amar, tmol mitmol represents chad, 1 time, shilshem is trey, for the yishmer edna chayiv. Very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand this machloikis of Abaye and Rava in understanding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rashi, they're arguing halach l'maisa, because according to Baya, only after 3 times does the animal become a muad, and only at the 4th act of hezek will there be a chiyuv for nezek sholeh. Whereas according to Rava, already at the 3rd time it does damage, will there be an obligation to pay nezek sholeh. That's how Rashi understands the machlokes of Baya and Rava. Tosfos strongly disagrees with Rashi, and in fact Tosfos says that Rashi himself retracts from this explanation, and Tosfos says that both Abaye and Rav agree that only after the animal does damage 3 times, at the 4th time it does damage, will there be a chiyuv to pay nezek sholem. He says that the machlokes Abaye and Rav is strictly how to understand the pasuk. Abaye is very simple. Tomorrow is 1, mitmol is 2, shilshem is 3. Whereas Rava says, tomorrow mitmol is 1, shilshem is 2, v'leishmirenu is the 3rd, and only after the 3rd time would there be an obligation for nezek sholeh. Rameya that says, even after doing damage just 3 times, even if all of those 3 acts occurred on the same day, there's a chiyuv for nezek sholeh. Rameya, my tama, what's the reasoning for Rameya? The Tanya Amar Rameya, Richek Nigyosov Chayev, Kirev Nigyosov Lekoshkin. Rameya says a svara. If the animal separated the acts of Hezek into 3 separate days, it becomes a muad. Certainly, if it did it all 3 acts on 1 day, it's a proof that this animal is a muad and the din of Nezek Sholeim applies. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with Rameya's explanation? So there are two reasons that I saw. One is because Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that an animal did 3 acts of damage in 1 day, it might have had a bad day. And that day was acting wild. But that's not a proof that the animal's really a muad. Only if the animal did it for 3 days do we have conclusive proof that this animal's a muad. That's one way of understanding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rameya. Another way is that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda, in logic, agrees with Rameya. But since, as we began the shir, the pasuk, according to Rabbi Yehuda, indicates that it has to do damage 3 times, so it's what the pasuk teaches us, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda can't agree with Rameya. And actually, this discussion that we're having now has a relevance lahalocha lamaisa. The Maram Ratenberg, a Rishon, says as follows. We know that on Shmini Atzeres we begin saying Mash Baruch Moed Hageshem. The Yerushalmi says, and this is the halocha, let's say a person has a shaila. Did he or didn't he say Mash Baruch Moed Hageshem? So Yerushalmi says for the first 30 days after Shmini Atzeres, we have to assume that you do what you're accustomed to do, and you didn't say Mash Baruch Moed Hageshem, and you would have to repeat Shmon Esrei. However, says the Maram Rattenberg, we have a very simple way of avoiding this problem. On Shmini Atzeres, sit down and say Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem 90 times, representing the 30 days, 30 times 3. Many Paiskim say it's not enough to say Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem. You have to say the whole bracha, but say it 90 times. And Rameya says that if over 30 days we say you're accustomed to saying Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem, certainly if you did it in one day, you'll become accustomed. That's Maram Rattenberg's advice to us. Ask the Magen Avraham, that piece of advice follows the opinion of Rameya. But as we're going to learn, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So how are we following Rameya's opinion when the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? But if, says the Magen Avraham, that if we follow what we just said, that it's not that Rabbi Yehuda conceptually disagrees with Rameya. He agrees with Rameya's logic. He just says that here it's different. Either because, as we said, there's a pasuk that teaches us that bamuda has to be 3 days. Or because by an animal there's a concept, maybe today it had to be a day, which has nothing to do with somebody saying, Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem. There, even Yehuda would agree that it would work. And that's why the Maram Rattenberg was able to offer us this piece of advice, how to avoid problem. Torah Tamima has a very different approach in understanding the Maram Rattenberg. He says, of course, just saying Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem 90 times, according to Rabbi Yehuda, will not create a situation where we're sure that you're going to always say it that way, just like he doesn't agree by a Shara Mu'ud. He says, what it accomplishes is as follows. The halacha is that you're not supposed to say it in the summer. So by saying Shemoneh Esrei 90 times, by practicing saying it 90 times, without Mashva Ruach Mayer Hageshem, that could be enough to be sure that you're not going to say it. Because he says, and the Gemara will discuss it soon more, it's easier, he says, to create a situation where an animal was a mu'ud and is no longer a mu'ud than to create a situation where an animal is a mu'ud. Similarly, maybe to create a situation that now I can be sure you said it, we can't say that. But to say that we broke the habit, maybe we can. Ask the Gemara, Amrlei Zava Techiach, you Rameya say that if something can happen over 3 days, it could certainly happen in one day. I'll prove to you from a Zava that that's not true. And as we always say when we speak about this introduction about Zava and Zav, we emphasize that what I'm going to say now is only Midaraisa and does not apply at all Bizman Hazeh. But Midaraisa, a woman's life is a cycle of 18 days. There are 7 days during which a woman can become a Nida. A woman becomes a Nida, again Midaraisa, I emphasize, she needs to wait 7 days, doesn't have to be days that are clean, and goes to the mikvah. That's during the 7 days. During the next 11 days, those are days that she can become a Zava. If she sees dam on 1 or 2 days, she just has to wait 1 day that she doesn't see dam, and she goes to the mikveh and she's fine. If she sees dam the 3 consecutive days, she becomes a Zava Gedoila, that the halacha is that she has to then wait Zayin Nekiyim. Again, nowadays, if a woman has any omission of dam, no matter how infrequent and how little, we have to have at least Zayin Nekiyim. There are other dinim. I'm not learning Hilchos Nida today. So Midaraisa we see that a woman can become a Zava only over 3 days, but not in 1 day. Zava Techiach, Shericha Kareyaseya Temeya, if she sells 3 riyas over 3 days, she becomes a Zava Gedoila. However, Kivariyaseya, if she has 3 riyas in 1 day, the halacha is Tahira. So your point, asked the Gemara Tremeya, that something that happens over many days certainly can happen over 1 day is incorrect. Amalehen. Hareyu Oimer, v'zois tia tumasa b'zoivai. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, what Ramey is saying is, the reason over there, a woman only becomes a Zava Gedoila over 3 days, is because the Torah explicitly teaches us that. In any other situation, 1 day would be a knife. Tolas a kosef, as a Zav b'riyas, by a male it depends on having 3 riyas, that's a Zav b'yamim. What does Zav b'riyas mean? A Zav is as follows. If a man has 1 emission of Zayif, he has to wait one day to become Tahar. He's like a Balkari. We'll talk about that tomorrow. If he has two emissions, he has to wait Zayin Nikiyim. And if he has three emissions, again, he has to wait 7 clean days, and he's going to have to bring a carbon. There, those three emissions could be in one day. So that's why Ramea says, Azava is not a question. It's a special din by Azava, by Sharmud, could all be in one day. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, who tells us to learn the high vizois, Lamute Zava Marias, to tell us that if Azava has three Rias in one day, she will not become Azava? Ema, maybe it's come to teach us, Lamute Zav Miyamim, that if Azav has three Rias, three emissions over 3 days, he will not become Azav. Amakra says, well, that's not true. Because the Pasuk says, Vazav Azavai Lazocha Ulnakeva, Mak is Zochel Nakeva. The Torah compares a male to a female. Manakeva, we just proved that even if the three Rias were over 3 days, not only even, but specifically they have to be over 3 days, she becomes Azava. Af Zocha Biyamim, if the Zocha has the three Rias over 3 days, he becomes Azav. Ask the Gemara, instead of comparing the male to the female, why don't we also say, V'leikish Nekeva L'Zocher, and say, Ma Zocha Barias, that if a male has three Rias even in one day, he becomes a full-fledged Zav. Af Nekeva, we should say, Barias, that if he had three Rias in one day, he'll become a full-fledged Zav Gadol. Says the Gemara, Hamid Rachmana Vezois. The Torah, as we quoted a moment ago, says, Vezois, to teach us that a Zava only becomes a Zava over 3 days, not in 1 day. Ask the Gemara, Maris. We have a number of psukim. So ask the Gemara, why are we using the psukim to teach us that a Zav becomes a Zav either way, and a Zava only becomes a Zava over many days? Why don't we say the opposite? Maybe we'll say that a Zav could become a Zav either way, and not a Zav. Answers the Gemara, Mistabra Koibarius, Mimayatrius. The Pasuk of a Zois is talking about a person having multiple Rias in one day. And the Pasuk is saying that only applies by a male, not by a female. Koibarius, but to say that the Pasuk is teaching us that by a male, he could only become a Zav through three Rias in one day, and not through three Rias over many days, we're talking apples and oranges. We're talking about Rias. It doesn't make sense. In other words, we have a choice to say that the Pasuk is going to be Mamad something. Is it going to exclude a Zav from becoming a Zav over many days? Or is it going to come to exclude a Zava from becoming a Zava in one day? Since we're talking about one day, it makes sense that the entire Pasuk is focused on the situation of one day, and the Pasuk is teaching us that only a male can become a Zav with multiple Rias in one day, and not a female. Says the Gemara, Tanar Abonin, Eiz a Mood, how does an animal become a Mood? Kosh Yidah by Shlosh Yomim, if for 3 days, that he did damage. The tam, how does an animal who's a mood revert to being a tam? Shehei tinoikis mishamshim by vein in the geach. If children play with this animal and he doesn't bite, divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, mood kol shida by sholosh pamim. As long as the animal did damage 3 days, three times, v'lo amru. Even if not in one day, when is there a concept of 3 days? That if an animal became a mu'ud, it has to have been challenged over 3 days to do damage, and it didn't. The halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda regarding a mu'ud. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need 3 days to become a mu'ud. Sherei Rabbi Yosi Maidaloi, because we find that Rabbi Yosi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. V'alok Ramei B'tam, the halacha is regarding Rameyer, as far as the tam is concerned, that as long as children play with it, and he doesn't bite, So again, Shrab Yossi Maidala. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Lerav Nachman, V'lei Mamar Halacha Kremei B'mu'ud. Why don't we say that the Halacha is like Remei regarding Mu'ud? Because we find that not only Remei has that opinion, but Rav Shimon Maidala, we find that Rav Shimon concurs with him. And furthermore, ask the Gemara, Halacha Rav Yehuda, why don't we say that Halacha is like Rav Yehuda regarding an animal who is a mood, reverting to becoming a tam, because we find Rav Shimon Maidalai. Says the Gemara, Amalei, I don't want to paskin that way, because I'm not Rav Yosi Shirley. I want to paskin like Rav Yosi, because Rav Yosi in the Muki Imai, we find throughout Shas that Rav Yosi always thought right, and we want to paskin like Rav Yosi. So Tosfos and the other Rishonim ask, if that's the case, that the reason he's paskening the way he's paskening is because that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So instead of saying Halach Rabbi Yehuda Batam, and as Halach Rabbi Yehuda Bamud, Halach Rameya Batam, instead of saying it that way, he should have said what he meant. He should have said Halach Rabbi Yossi. It's very simple. So Taisus says a very simple teretz. He says the people were much more familiar with the opinion of Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda than they were with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Because the opinions of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda are quoted in the Mishnah. Everybody learned the Mishnah. So that's why if we want to identify what is the halacha, we quote the Tanoim who are mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's why it'll be easier for us to understand what the halacha is. That's one teretz. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is as follows. Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, the Muki Imai. But when do we say Halach Rabbi Yossi? When he's not arguing against others. But if there are others arguing against Rabbi Yossi, even though Namuki Imai, even though he had very good line of reasoning, that doesn't mean we should follow his psak. But if we'll say that it's not just Rabbi Yossi that we're relying on to paskin the way we paskin, but we also have other Tanon agreeing with his opinion, it becomes much easier to follow his opinion. So that's why the Gemara didn't just want to say a fairly simple statement, Halach Rabbi Yossi, because then we would have all these Tanoim that are disagreeing with him. So we show that it's not just Rabbi Yossi that holds this way. Regarding how an animal becomes a mood, we have Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with him. Regarding how an animal reverts back to being a tam, we have Ramei agreeing with him, and it becomes much more acceptable to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara, Ibailuhu, Shloish Yom Diktani. We speak about 3 days, an animal becoming a mood over 3 days. So the Gemara asks a very fundamental question. What is the purpose of this exercise of making an animal a mood? Is it Liyudi Tura or Liyudi Gavra? Does the animal have to become a mood, or does the person have to become a mood? And we'll explain this much more in a moment. Lamai nafkamina. What's the practical nafkamina? Before we explain the lomdus, what would be the halacha? The also tolsa kiti sadi b'chad yoima. If 3 pairs of witnesses came in one day and said that this animal did 3 acts of hezek, e amrit liyudit Torah. If we say the purpose is that to prove that this animal did damage. So by having these 3 pairs of Adam walking in and saying it, the fact that they all come in one day, miyad, the animal will become a mu'ud. However, Yamid Liyudi Gavra, if the purpose is to make the owner a mu'ud, lemiyad, the animal will not become a mu'ud. Neima Amr, if all 3 witnesses come in one day, hashtu the kumasadibi. Now let's try to understand the Gemara. My, what is the din? Now let's try to understand the Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara, although not everybody agrees with Rashi on this point, that the Gemara is following the previous piece of Gemara. We learned in the previous piece of Gemara that animal becomes a mu'id over 3 days. Now, how do we understand the 3 days? Does it have to be that there are witnesses 3 separate days? Or, as long as the animal did acts of damage over 3 days, the witnesses could come on one day, the animal will become a mu'ud. Other Rishonim say that the Gemara's question could even be according to the opinion of Rameya. that says that the animal could do all three acts of damage and one day, and he will become a mu'ud. The question now is, how do we have to accept this testimony? Does it have to be separate times, or could it be in one time? But again, we're going to learn like Rashi. If we say the purpose is that to prove that this animal did damage, so as long as three pairs of Adam walk in and say that the animal did three acts of damage, we have the proper situation to consider this animal a mu'ud. But if we say that it's the owner who becomes a mu'ud, so if three pairs of Adam come in today and say, you know, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, the animal did damage, but I only heard of it today. So the fact that you're telling me that we have three pairs of witnesses speaking about three acts doesn't change the reality that I only heard about it now. And therefore, he would not become a mu'ud. Now, in understanding this opinion of Liyude Gavra, we need to understand it a little better. Because what does Liyude Gavra mean? If Liyude Gavra means that we're serving notice to the owner, your animal did damage, so what's the difference if it's on one day or it's on more than one day? So therefore, the Rishonim explain, the purpose of this exercise is to put the owner on notice. You have a problem. Your animal is doing damage, and you have to watch it. But this causes us to have a very difficult problem that the Rishonim ask. If we'll say the purpose of Liyude Gavra is to put the owner on notice, it will think about it, the owner should not be chayiv nezek sholem until the fifth time. Which we never find an opinion that says you have to wait till the fifth time. As I said earlier in the shir, according to Rashi, the machlok is the third time or the fourth time. But nobody says you have to wait for the fifth time. Why? Because if the animal did a first act of damage, and now we come and warn him, you have a problem. So he's warned the first time before the second act. The animal does a second act, so he's warned once before another time before the third act. Again, he does damage, he's warned again before the fourth act. So when will the animal have done three acts of damage and the owner been warned? It's only by the time it does the act, the fifth time it does something. Nobody suggests you have to wait till the fifth time. So how do we understand the Gemara? So Rishonim are very bothered with this question, according to the opinion of Liyude Gavra. And they say this is the only way they're able to work with the Gemara. They say the way we have to understand the Gemara is like this. If the animal did one act of damage and the owner was warned before the second act and warned before the third act, and then he was warned before the fourth act, even though he hasn't done, the animal has not done three acts of damage with the owner being pre-warned, but the animal has done three acts of damage that the owner is aware of, and that's enough to put the owner on guard that when the animal does a fourth act of damage, he should be held responsible for Nezek Shalom. So again, what is the question? So what is the purpose of this? And as the Rishonim Mefarshim explained, why are we asking this question? Because we look in the Mishnah has an extra word. The Mishnah says, Kol Shehi'idu Boy. What's the word? Kol Shehi'idu Boy, Shlosha. So it says, Kol Shehi'idu. The boy is coming to say that the act, the becoming a mood has an object, the boy. We're just not sure who is the boy. Is the boy the animal, or is the boy the owner? So Gemara attempts to explain this question from the following brisa. Tashma inashar nas mood, an animal doesn't become a mood, achi yoyed ba b'fnei ba'al m'fnei bezdin. The Edom have to say testimony in front of the owners and in front of Bezdin. Hid ba b'fnei bezdin shlo b'fnei ba'alim. If they said it in front of the Bezdin but not in front of the owners, or b'fnei ba'alim v'shlo b'fnei bezdin, in front of the owners without the Bezdin there, and in as a mood, he doesn't become a mood, achi yoyed ba b'fnei bezdin b'fnei ba'alim. Has to have the Bezdin and the ba'alim. So the Namukhi Yosef asks the obvious question when we learn this brisa. Why does the Baisa have to teach us the same thing in such a redundant fashion? You need this and you need that, and you without one, without the other. You need both. Finished. So the Mukhi Yosef answers that we're going to learn later in our Masechta, and there are more paskins like the Nemuki Yosef. We're going to learn later in our Masechta that the halacha is you always have to say testimony in front of the baldover, in front of the interested party. But let's say the person, I have a din tari with you, and you're sick, you're old, you can't make it to Beis Din. The halacha is that we waive the requirement that the Baal Din be there. However, here, and that's the reason why the Brice emphasizes this so much, the halacha is that if you can't make it, for whatever reason, you can't become a Mu'ud. Who is the Beis Din? Machloikis also is enough of 3-member Beis Din, or do you need a 23-member Beis Din? The Mefarshim also ask that we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn Sech Baba Basra. The Gemara, we all know, says that Chazaka is accomplished that if I am on property that you owned previously and I'm on it for 3 years and you didn't lay any claim, I have a Chazaka. We don't find that the Gemara Masech the Baba Basra, on the contrary, should require you need a Beis Din and Edom. Why all of a sudden here do we need a Beis Din and Edom? So Tysus' opinion is, because it's a Xeris HaKosif. The Torah says, but who are the Bolov? You have to have the owners and the Beis Din. Anything less, you won't be having a situation of Mu'ud. Another Torah that the Rishonim suggest is there we have a concept of Chavr Chavr Islay. If I'm on a property, I'm in a house that was yours for so long and nobody said anything and you didn't say anything, you must have known I was there because everybody would have been talking about it. But if an animal does damage, that's not necessarily big news. Another teretz, one more teretz that Rishonim suggests. Here we're talking about a situation of a mitzvah mechaveroi. The nizik wants to demand that the mazik pay. We know throughout Shas that when a nizik or anybody wants to claim payment, it's much more complicated to effectuate that claim without strong testimony. Continues the Braisa. Hidu shnayim b'rishayna. If 2 Edim say about 1 act of damage that the Shnor did, v'shnayim b'shniyah, another pair says about the 2nd act, v'shnayim b'shlishis, and another pair regarding a 3rd act. And as the Rishonim point out, they don't necessarily have to be different individuals. It could be the same pair that keeps on coming. Harei kan sholosh edyus, they're considered 3 distinct pairs of Edim. What does it mean that they're considered 3 distinct groups? Rashi says that we know there's a halacha, Eidah Shabbatla Mektsasa Batla Kulay. If we come as a group of people to say testimony together, and one of us gets disqualified, it disqualifies the entire group. Here, the Brice is teaching us that these are considered 3 distinct pairs, and if one pair gets disqualified, it doesn't have an effect on the other pairs. That's how Rashi explains. Tysus explains that it's come to teach us a different din. That we know that 2 brothers can't be Edom together. So let's say 1 pair has 1 brother with a stranger, the 2nd pair is another brother with a stranger, and the 3rd pair is another brother with a stranger. Since these 3 pairs are looked at as 3 separate groups, the fact that there are 3 brothers here is irrelevant. But they're considered 1 Edus lahazoma. They're considered 1 pair, 1 group for hazoma. We know that Aloch is that if the Torah teaches us, we're going to discuss this at great length. So if these 3 pairs end up being Edom Zomimim, that they were trying to create a situation that this Shor is a Mu'ud when it isn't, they will have to pay the Nezek Shalim. So explains the Braisa. Nimsa Kas Rishon Zomimim. The 1st pair that came to say that this animal did damage turns out to be Edom Zomimim. Harei kan shtei edis, we still have the 2 other pairs standing. For who potter? For him p'turim. The owner is potter from the chatzi nezek that he would normally have to pay, because the Edom Zomimim will have to pay it. But they only have to pay chatzi nezek, they won't have to pay nezek shalom, because the animal has not been established to be a mu'ud that we should say kasha zomim requires that they should pay mu'ud nezek shalom. Similarly, nimtza kashnia zomimis, that the 2nd pair turns out to be Edom Zomimim. Again, Harei kan Edus Achas, we're left with 1 pair standing, V'hu Pater, but again, in this case, the owner won't have to pay Chatzin Nezek, V'heim Peturim, and the Edom Zomimim will only have to pay Chatzin Nezek, they won't have to pay the 2nd half of the Nezek, of Nezek Shalem, because they weren't speaking about a Mu'ud. Nimtzes kash lishes zoymemes. Now if the third pair is proved to be Edom zoymemim, kulm chayovim. So now all three of these pairs of Edom combine to be identified as Edom zoymemim. To be identified as Edom zoymemim. Vazeh nemar, vasisim loy kash zomam, and they all have to pay the extra half that you have to pay for a mu'ud more than a tam. So Rashi asks the obvious question. They only spoke about three times. We said a number of times in our shir that you only pay Nezek Shalom by the fourth time. There wasn't a fourth time yet. It only happened the third time. Very difficult question. Rashi doesn't have such a hard time with this question. Because I said at the beginning of the shir, Rashi says there are opinions that say that you pay Nezek Shalom already at the third act. So that's the Manda Omer of this Braisa. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. But not everybody follows Rashi's opinion. As I said, Tosfos says nobody agrees that you pay by the third time. So why would you have to pay Nezek Shalom? Even if they're Edom Zomim. And even if you combine them, there are only three acts. You don't pay Nezek Shalom until the fourth time. So the Rishonim, according to Tosfos' opinion, give two other answers. One answer is, by the time these three peers came, this Shor already did a fourth act of damage. So their testimony has direct relevance on Nezek Shalom for the fourth act that supposedly happened. The Rashba says a very nice teretz. The Rashba says as follows. You're right. You wouldn't have a chiyuv for Nezek Shalom. You're not chiyuv for Nezek Shalom until the fourth act. Nobody spoke about a fourth act of damage. However, he says, animal, once it becomes a mu'ud, its value drops significantly. Because having a mu'ud under my care is a real responsibility. I may have to pay Nezek Shalom, mi'aliyah. And that's what happens here. By taking these three pairs together, I will now have a situation, of an animal that's a mu'ud whose value dropped. And that's what the Braisa means, that we combine them all together to have to pay for that loss that they wanted to cause. The Sefer Teres Chaim says a very nice vart. He says, and the Braisa ends with the words, Vazen nem vasisim loy kash zomam. He says, why does the Braisa have to say those words? Of course, we know it didn't. We know the pasuk vasisim loy kash zomam. Every time the Gemara throughout Shas speaks about Edom Zomim, does the Gemara quote this pasuk? He says like this. He says, the wording of the Torah is very careful, very deliberate. What does kasha zoma mean? Kasha zoma means planning. Zoma means to have a plan. Here, as we're going to learn in a moment to the Gemara, what happened? These three pairs of Edom colluded together to make the shor into a mu'ud, and that's why it was their zomam. They were three separate pairs, but they colluded, they planned together. So that's why the Gemara is quoting, now you understand why the Torah uses the word vasisim loikasha zomam, because you see a case where it's the planning that causes them to become Edom Zomim. So now the Gemara makes its point. Again, we're learning the Gemara like Rashi. It would say that the purpose is to make the Shor mu'ud shaper. These three pairs of Edom all came together on one day with the goal of making this animal into a mu'ud, and they were Edom Zomim. Eli amr liyudi gavra, and as we said before, if we hold liyudi gavra, the three pairs have to come on three separate days. Lema hanach kamoi. So the pair that comes on the first day should say, Anan mi have yedinan, the boss of Shlosh Yom Asahani miyadle. Do we know what's going to happen that on the second day another pair is coming? On the third day a third pair is coming? How can we know that? And Taisa says, the Gemara could have asked the question the other way also. The pair comes on the third day, says, do we have any way of knowing that there was a pair here yesterday and that there was another pair here 2 days ago? Because we have to have them all on separate days. So if we sell you the Torah, and they could all come together, so they all came together, and that's how they became Edom Zomim. But if we say it's Liyud de Gavra, how do we understand this price? Omer of Ashi, Amrita L'shmatza Kameder of Kahana, or Liyud de Torah Menicha. You're saying that if we follow the concept of Liyud de Torah, we can understand the Gemara. How is it so understandable? V'lema Hanach Basroi, even if they came on one day, Maybe the last pair should say, Anan Meno Yadinan, the call the Koibe Dina, Lasur Beturka Sinan. Just because the previous Adim came today, how should we know that there were Adim here today? And that the Adim that were here today, prior to us, came to speak about the Shor. So you're saying, ask the Gemara, that if Liude Tura, and all the Adim could come on one day, we could understand the Brisa. Why is the Brisa, ask the Gemara, so understandable? Do the people that came last necessarily know about what happened earlier? And none, L'chiyuv Gavra Palganiska Sinan. We only came to say testimony that this Shor did Hezek. And we have no way of knowing that there were previous Adim speaking here and telling us, speaking about this Shor, and that through our testimony, this Shor will become a Mu'ud. Answers the Gemara. We have a way of knowing. The Kamams are Amuzi. It's not as innocent, as says the Gemara, as it seems. It's not like the third peer comes and says testimony that this Shor did Hezek, and they don't know anything about the previous peers. We see that they're talking, they're talking to each other. So obviously they were aware about the previous testimony. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we here again here have a very basic machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the Gemara is taka following the opinion of Liyudei Tura. And since Liyudei Tura, they come all on one day, that's actually what happened. That all three witnesses came together. We see them talking to each other, so it's obvious that they came together. And the last pair can't claim, we don't know anything about the previous pairs. But if it's separate days, we can't have that. Tosfos says that the truth is we can even follow the opinion of Liyudei Gavra. Because we see that even though these three pairs, as Liyudei Gavra requires, came on separate days, but we see that it's still colluding together, so it's a proof that they can't claim we didn't know about each other. Rav Ashi Amar, Kshibar Ritzufim, that they came mamish together. It's the biggest proof that they're one group, and they can't claim ignorance. Ravina Amar, it must be that they're speaking about the acts. Because Ravina says a very interesting teretz. It's referring to a situation, but Makirin Baal Ashar, they're Makirin Ashar. They know that this owner has in his flock an animal that does damage, but they can't identify the Ashar. So it can't be a Tam. Why can't it be a Tam? Because a Tam you pay Megufay, but I don't know who's the animal. So a Tam it can't be, it must be that they're speaking about a mu'ud. Ask the Gemara, if they can't identify the shor, hechem yadle, how could they make the animal into a mu'ud if they can't identify the animal? Says the Gemara, debar damri, they don't have to, says the Gemara, very bechidish, you don't have to identify the animal. All you have to be able to do is say, tur negachna islach bebkarcha, you have an animal in your herd that has this tendency to do damage, and therefore you have to watch the entire herd. But the Rishonim ask, it still doesn't answer the question. Just because you have in your herd an animal that does damage, it might be three different animals, not the same animal. So that's why Tosfos says that maybe when each peer comes to speak about the animal, they can't identify whose specific animal is. They only could say that we know you have an animal that does damage. But by the time they finish, they're able to identify that it was the same animal that did all the acts of damage. So I saw the Mefarshim ask a beautiful question in Teretz, Tutrutzim. They're not able to identify who the animal is. So it's certainly not a Tam, because a Tam pays Megufay, and if you can't identify the animal, you can't pay Megufay. But even a Mu'ud, there's one animal that's a Mu'ud, and we don't know who he is, that's mixed in with the rest of the animals. So why don't we say that he's Batel Baroif, and we can't identify him? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is as follows. What would be the halacha if I make a nether that I have to eat this loaf of bread today? I make a nether today, I have to eat this loaf of bread. And then this loaf of bread gets mixed up with other loaves of bread, and I can't identify it. Do we say Batel Baroif or not? The halacha is you don't say Batel Baroif. I would have to eat all the loaves. Why? Because I have an obligation to eat the loaf. Here, too, I have an obligation to watch. What is the obligation one has with a mu'ud? He has to watch that his mu'ud doesn't do damage. And therefore, he has the obligation to eat, to watch all the animals if he can't identify which is indeed the animal that has the mu'ud. Another teretz, fairly similar, is that what is the obligation by a shara mu'ud? The obligation by a shara mu'ud is that I have to watch that the animal does do damage. That's an obligation in Adam L'chaveroi, that I have to watch that my animal doesn't do damage to someone else. You can't rely on Bittel B'Roiv to exempt you from that obligation. Ibaruhu, ask the Gemara, HaMashasach Kaba Shechaveroi, B'chaveroi. Somebody instigates somebody else's dog to attack. Mahu, Mashasach Adi Potter. The person that did it is Potter. As the Rishonim say, it's considered Grom of Nezokin. And Grom of Nezokin is Potter Medine Adam, only Chai B'Shemayim. The question is only on Baal Kelev, on the owner of the dog. Mai, what is the din? Mi Aminin, do we say, Matzi Amalei, Anor Mai Avidnalei, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Adilma Aminalei, or do we say to him, Kivin Deidat B'Kalbach, you should know that your dog has this tendency, the Meshasalei Mitzitzi, that if you get it irritated, it will do damage. You shouldn't have such a dog. And by having such a dog, you're held responsible. Amma, Reb Zera. So Reb Zera attempts to answer this question from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Tam, Shei Tinokus Mishamshim Bar Ve'en Negeach. That what's considered a Tam? That the children play with it, and it doesn't do any damage. Ha'negeach, if it does damage. If the children irritate it, and it does damage, you see that Chayiv, the owner is responsible. Amar Abaya, Miktanim Noga Chayiv. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah doesn't necessarily tell us that if children irritate an animal and it does damage, the owner of the animal is responsible. What it says is, that we want to create a situation that this animal, which is a mood, should become a tam. So it teaches us the Mishnah that if children play with it and it gets irritated, it isn't going to be a tam. But that doesn't mean that that the owner is responsible. Perhaps, if it does do damage, the owner is still not held responsible. Toshmaster Gemara trams from a different brisa. Mishnah, actually. If somebody irritated a dog, or a cat, or a dog, or a snake, he's potter. Malav, potter mishasa, the instigator is potter. V'chayiv, Baal Kelev, but the owner is still held responsible. Says, well, that's not the way necessarily to understand. Ema potter at mishasa. The owner is certainly potter. He didn't do anything. But even the instigator is potter. Makes Rava the following statement. Amar Rava, in Tim Tzulayma mishasa kalba shel chaveri, b'chaveri, if I instigate somebody else's dog to attack, chayiv, even if the owner is held responsible, what will be the din? This could happen, it backfires. Shisahu ba'atzmai. You have somebody that instigates, irritates the dog, and you know who the dog attacks? They instigate it. Potter. My tama. Why is certainly in that case the owner of the animal potter? Kol mishana. If somebody did something abnormal, I went and I irritated a dog. Oba acha v'shinaba, potter. So here too, since this is the second act, it's potter. Amalei popular rava. Itma mishmei de Rosh Lakish kavaseich. A psak that we learned earlier on Daf Chof from Rosh Lakish corroborates this. Don Rosh Lakish. If you have a case like this, shtei paras b'shus harabim, two animals in b'shus harabim, achas revutza, one squatted down in b'shus harabim, v'achas mahalachas, and then you have another animal walking in the b'shus harabim. Umata mahalachas b'revutza, the animal that's walking in b'shus harabim kicks the animal that's squatting, p'tura. Because as we learned so many times, an animal is a lot of walkers, just a rabbin. And when animals walk, they kick. However, revutza b'malachas, chayevis. Because the revutza did a shinui, and then the second one did it, and then kol ha-mishana, or ba'ach v'shina, malachas b'revutza p'tura. Why? Because it's a situation kol ha-mishana, ba'ach v'shina, However, if the revutza kicks the malachas, chayevis. Amalei, anor bahi chayuvim chayevin. Even if I subscribe, says Rava, to the concept A kala mashana ba achav shina ba potir. Here I'll hold its chayiv. The meaning like ki eslach reshui skuyalai. Yes, if an animal squats down and reshus rabim, another animal has a right to walk at it. As the Rishonim explained, we can't force the animal to cross the street. Animal doesn't have that intellect. Aber levuti bei leslach reshusa. He doesn't have a right to kick it. So there are two ways that Rishonim explain this gemara. One way that Rishonim explain this gemara is that when is there halacha kala mashana or bo'ach v'shina ba'potar, is if the second shinui is caused by the first shinui. The first shinui was that the animal squatted down. The second shinui is that the second animal kicked it. The kicking isn't the result of the sitting. Kicking is kicking, and sitting is sitting. And therefore you can't say that this is a case of kala mashana bo'ach v'shina ba. Another explanation, this is why most Rishonim learn. The Mukiyos explains like this. When do we say kol mishana ba'ach v'shina ba'potar is when the second act of shinui is equal or less than the first act of shinui. But if the second act of shinui is a greater act of shinui, we don't say this concept. Kicking is a bigger act of shinui than squatting. And therefore we can't apply the concept of kol mishana ba'ach v'shina ba'potar. And actually, using the Nemuki Yosef concept, I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Zilberstein. There were two people sitting together, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven has a dog who's trained to be Reuven's guard. And you know, sometimes when people sit together, they give each other a shtip, a push. So Shimon, talking to Reuven, gives Reuven a push. Reuven's dog sees Shimon giving his owner a push. So what does he do? He goes on the attack. And he attacks Shimon. Will Reuven be held responsible for his dog attacking Shimon? You could say kala mashana. Shimon did something abnormal by giving Reuven a push. So Rishina, and then if the dog does something abnormal, he should be held potter. But we follow the Bnuki Miyosef's approach, that the Nemuki Yosef says that the second act of shinui is bigger than the first act of shinui. We don't apply this concept. A dog attacking is much worse than a person giving a push. It's a bigger act of shinui, and the halacha, Paskin's Reb Zilberstein, is that if I give somebody a push, and his dog attacks, you know, not to hurt him, just, you know, how people are, and his dog attacks me, he will be held responsible.